The country then was Lithuania.
Yeah.
And you lived in a town.
In a small town.
And what was the name of it?
Well, see if you can, is your teeth good? tongue twister, Grinkeshock.
Well, that's a tough one.
Grinkeshock.
You Delaney, don't have to talk.
All right, and what about, it was a small town, you say?
Small town.
Can you give me an approximate size?
Well, we had in our town, I would say we had about 100 Jewish families, was all together.
Oh, that's the area.
Blinkershock.
Oh, Europe, I thought you were talking
about. Oh, she said, that's what she said.
Yeah, and how big was the town?
Altogether?
Altogether.
Oh, I would say about a couple hundred, 200, not anymore. It was about half the Jewish, so half the Christians.
And what kind of house did you live in?
Made out of logs.
No. I don't know. We lived, my parents were poor. It's not, you can't pay yourself, but it was poor. Now there was a house, it had two halves, you mm-hmm. understand? One family lived in one half, mm-hmm. another family lived in the other half, and in between those two halves, there was a small apartment, little apartment, and that's where we lived.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in here, there's homes in here like that, apartments.
What was the house made out of?
Well, it was more...
Logs?
No, not where we lived in the big house. No, it was more like flesh. Well, what would you say?
Stucco-like.
Mm-hmm.
And a straw room.
A straw room?
The roof was actually made of straw.
Hmm. How did that hold up under the weather?
It seemed to know. It never, the roof never leaked. How? I don't know. But it never did.
Your immediate family who lived there, did you have brothers and sisters?
Well, yes, I had, you see, in our family there were six children. Mother had six children.
Yes.
Three of them died and three survived.
All right. Now, how many brothers were there?
I had two more brothers from my mother's side. My father had, he was his second wife,
mm-hmm.
you see. And, of course, he had a son from the first wife that he was already in this country. He came here in 1895.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, were your two brothers that lived at home, were they older or younger?
They were both older. I was the youngest.
Okay. And were there any brothers who died?
Yes. We had one brother died in this country. He was also older than I am. And another smaller brother who was younger than I am,
mm-hmm.
he died in Europe.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, how many sisters did you have?
One sister.
Mm-hmm. Was she older or younger?
And she was older.
Older, but she died in Europe.
She died in Europe, too.
Yeah. How long did you live in this house?
Well, practically all my life, that is ever, as long as I was born.
Do you know how long the family had lived there before?
No, just shortly. They moved from a smaller place yet, from a, what you would call a little village. Well, it wouldn't be a village either. What would you call
it? A dorp is a village.
A village. You know, a place that there's just little one street that runs through like...
Yes. Yes, like a very small village.
Yeah, a small village. Mm-hmm. What do you call it? London, America is kind of a...
Did you work when you lived in Europe? You were too small.
I went to school.
All right, what kind of work did your father do?
He was a shoemaker. Now, well, better put a question, you know, in Europe, they build new shoes.
Mm-hmm.
In here, they have to have a factory.
Yes.
In there, it's shoemaker.
Custom-made.
Yes.
Custom-made shoes. And of course,
did you ever see the
shoes? I can't recall my father ever repairing any shoes.
He made new shoes.
New shoes.
What languages were spoken in your home?
Yiddish.
Only Yiddish?
Only Yiddish.
What kind of schooling did you have?
Well, I had, when I was up until I was 8 years old, we went to a private, but it would be like a private teacher. It wasn't a regular school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a teacher had a number of kids, and they would come to, he had a room there, that they would come to the room, and he taught them, you know, in there. And that's the way he made a living.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, after I went to, after I became 8 years old, I went to another town, a bigger town. And in the bigger town, it was also the same way. Our teacher was the same way, only he had a bigger, he had more pupils.
Mm-hmm. Did you learn Jewish subjects or?
Let's put it, religious subjects.
Mm-hmm. In both places?
In both places. But you had to accept for 1 hour a day, 3 or 4 times a week. We used to get a teacher that would teach us privately, that would teach us like reading, writing, and arithmetic. Mm-hmm. And also the language of the land, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the other way, just like the children go to cheder in this country, you know what I mean? That's the way
it was just the opposite.
The opposite.
Yeah. What was the synagogue like in your town?
Well, it was a small synagogue, specially built for a synagogue. You know,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't like a private one.
Like
Chofetz Chaim.
The same thing. It wasn't so elaborate like
that shalom. Well, Chofetz Chaim is a private home. No,
Chofetz Chaim is a shul, not a private home.
Chofetz Chaim is a...
Right, sure.
A small shul, but built specially for that purpose.
It was one room.
One big room. Oh, yeah.
And upstairs was for the women.
Oh, yeah, there was one room on the side, yes. That some people, the spillover had a minyan, used to go to play by themselves, separate.
And was there a balcony going around for the women?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that had to have a balcony.
Yeah.
Mezzanine, what you would call it.
Yes.
And we also had
a mechitza.
Huh?
A mechitza.
No, not a mechitza. Mechitza is one half.
Oh, I see.
This is upstairs. Oh,
you're right. Okay.
No, sir.
No, Chofetz Chaim, I think.
Sure.
I was never there.
Chofetz Chaim, like
Chofetz Chaim. Now, also, Mel, is beautiful. We also had what you call a summer shul, too.
Mm-hmm.
Also one room. The only thing, there was holes in the roof.
Was this a separate building?
A separate building. And the same, you didn't...
And the smeras, wasn't
it? One call was called the smeras, the other one was shul.
What were your relations with the non-Jewish people in the town?
Well, let's put it to be blunt. I wouldn't repeat it among goyim, but I can tell you, we looked very much down on the goyim,
mm-hmm.
on the non-Jews, for the reason that they were very ignorant,
not literate.
Illiterate. Although they had a school in the town, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They had a Christian school in the town, but it seems not too many of them went to school. And they were very, very, I would say 85% to 90% were illiterate.
Mm-hmm. How did they feel about you, about the Jews?
Envious, let's put it that way. Because the Jewish fellow lived better.
Mm-hmm. Were there any anti-Semitic outbreaks? Was there any trouble between the two groups?
Well, the always, most of the time, we had to have a, what they call a policeman. That was a sort of a policeman, but anyway, in there they called him Strasnik, you know what I mean? That the town used to pay him, that he kept order in the town, but otherwise it would have been.
Did you belong to any political organizations in Europe?
No.
You or your family?
No. The only political family was revolutionary, and
yes.
They were not revolutionaries.
How about Zionist organizations?
There was no Zionist in our time. Not in our part of the country, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Zionist there was. It was already 18... In the bigger town that they had.
Mm-hmm. But you knew about it, about the Zionist movement in the
beginning. Yes, we knew about it.
We had always hoped to go.
Sure,
there.
What was the relationship of the government of the country to the Jews?
Anti-Semitic.
Shall I give you an illustration?
Yeah.
I went when I grew up, you know what I mean, when I was older, let's say from 15 years and on up to 19, the last few years, I went to a yeshiva.
Mm-hmm.
You've probably heard the word yeshiva.
Sure.
That means. That's where they manufacture a bonin.
Yes.
You know what that is, don't you? Anyway, the yeshiva, this yeshiva, was near the capital of Lithuania, which was Kovno. Now, in the city of Kovno, they had what they called the governor's sword. The governor, it was a park. The governor's, in English translation, would mean the governor's park.
Mm-hmm.
On this park, there was a big sign, "Everybody is welcome except Jews and dogs." Russia from the bottom of my heart. I don't think there's anybody else hated his country that he was born in as much as I did.
Go ahead.
We lived in the same house.
Go ahead.
one of their relatives came back from serving the army, in the Russian army, 3 years and 8 months,
mm-hmm.
which was considered 4 years at that time. Well, anyway, 3 years and 8 months. And he served, while he served in the army, he was in deep Russia. You see, deep Russia was forbidden for the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
The Jewish people were not allowed. They only could live in the part of Poland and Lithuania. But when it came to Russia, they were not allowed. Well, anyway, this boy, after he served the army for 3 years and 8 months, when he got his discharge papers, he also got a notice with it that he had to leave that part of Russia 24 hours.
What is called that?
Okay, what did you think about America at this time?
That was our dream. That was every child's dream, as soon as he could realize something.
Did you have any ideas of what America was like?
Free country.
Mm-hmm.
We used to call Freie Amerika. That was the expression.
Yes. Why did you leave the country where you were born?
Well, there was no future. That was the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
All, if you're interested, you know, for all the smaller towns and even the bigger towns too, all the families that raised up children, practically 95% of them, the children, when the children grew up big enough, by the way, went to America.
Mm-hmm. Why did you come to the United States rather than to some other country?
My brothers were here.
Mm-hmm.
They came before me.
Did you ever consider, or did your brothers ever consider going someplace else?
No. America was good enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you left Europe, did you have a definite destination? You knew you were coming to the States.
To the States. Then to Pittsburgh.
You knew you were coming to Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, yes, because my brothers were here.
Why Pittsburgh? Why did your brothers choose Pittsburgh?
Well, that's take my oldest brother, or let's say the half a brother, when he came over, his uncle from his mother's side,
mm-hmm.
he lived in Kensington.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Cohen, and that's the way we happen to have the name Cohen. In other words, I might tell you that the name Cohen is stolen. It isn't really ours.
Is that right?
That's true. But anyway, he came to his uncle in New Kensington, and his name was Cohen, and he adopted a name, Cohen, because our name was Rujovsky, real hard to pronounce it, you know.
Yeah.
So he called himself Cohen, then when he brought over the next brother, he didn't feel like changing, and that's the way it remained, and of course, that's the way it was for us.
All right, when you left Europe, did you leave as part of a group, or did you come by yourself?
Well, from our time, we went a group, sort of a group, but we weren't all, the destination wasn't the same.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we left as a group, but we were separated.
Mm-hmm. When you got here?
No, when we got in Hamburg.
I see.
Yeah.
How was this group formed?
Well, there was one fellow that made it a business. Their business was to, the right word for it, to sneak people across the border. Which was, they had princes from 19, 20 years old, you know, they wouldn't allow it. So in order to get out from Russia, you just had to sneak across the border. Well, this man, his business was to sneak people across the border.
Mm-hmm.
And naturally, he would get a whole group. And the border from our time was around 18 to 20 miles, the German border. Everything's clear to you?
It's coming very clear. I mean, you know, I remember stories that my family told, and that it fits the same kind of thinking, the same way
That's
of feeling.
Right.
All right. Now, how did you travel out of Lithuania?
Well, me on a wagon. You know, he took us to a little town near the German border. Yatkun was the name, if you want. And towards evening, like, we jumped across. You see, this fella, he would pay the soldier that watched the border.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. It's not like between here and America and between America and Canada.
Yeah.
There are soldiers all along that watch the border. But you pay them, and they look the other way. And that's where we snuck across.
Mm-hmm. And then what happened? And
then we came to a town in Germany. We stayed there overnight, slept in a Shiloh, you know, the whole group of us. And then the next morning we went to, or the next day, we went to Hamburg.
How did you get to Hamburg?
By train.
Mm-hmm. And from Hamburg?
Each one, it all depends what destination, please. Like, we went to Pittsburgh, we took a boat. Well, the most went to Baltimore was the destination. It wasn't like now in New York. In our time,
did
Baltimore.
You land in Baltimore?
In Baltimore.
All right. All right, then you got the ship at Hamburg.
At Hamburg.
Hamburg, not in Bremen.
wait a minute now. Maybe, no.
I went to Bremen.
Better change it. All right. Sorry, yeah. I don't know what made me think of Hamburg. To Bremen.
Bremen was the,
It was the city near the ocean,
the,
yeah.
New York, the,
yeah. Who met you in Baltimore?
Nobody.
No organization or no friend?
No organization and no friend, no.
Okay.
All you have to have is a dollar in your pocket. No, but I'm kidding.
Yes.
They wouldn't admit you. It's even you and him to get a ticket, to get your ticket to Pittsburgh, like. Before you could get your ticket, you had to show them that you have a dollar.
It was the traveling association. Oh,
which I didn't have.
So what did you do?
I borrowed a dollar from a friend of mine, an acquaintance. I got acquainted with on the boat. And he loaned me a dollar. And I showed a dollar and I paid him back.
Well, tell me this. What did you bring with you from Europe?
I brought
a sheet of underwear.
A shirt, a sheet of...
There's buttons, maybe.
Well, the clothes on my back, that was all that I was never used the minute I came to this country, you know, right after, as soon as my brothers were able to buy new clothes for me, that stuff, I never saw it again.
Did you bring any sentimental things with you from home? Any papers or letters or...
No.
Or any objects that your family had given you to take with you?
No, not
okay. Now, you told me that your name was not the same.
Rudjofsky.
Why? All right, how do you spell it?
RUDGOVSKY.
Okay. What impressed you first when you came to the United States?
Funny thing, the first American that I saw was a colored fella, a nigger, and he was black. In Europe, we had never seen any colored people, never seen. And I didn't know there was such animals in existence, you know. When I saw this fella, he was so black, my impression was that the people in America get black that way. They sure is good. And in the Jewish, there's a word for it. Wären paar schwarz. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
And that was. I came to Pittsburgh. I had cousins here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course my brothers were working, you know, they didn't have time, but I had cousins that had a little time. And one of them took me to, it used to be the Harris Theater down on, it's called Forbes now, they call it, at that time it was Diamond Street. They had the Harris vaudeville show. He took me to a vaudeville show and I thought that was heaven. That gave me that shield. I said, America is beautiful. You know, the girls coming out dancing on, in a vaudeville show at that time. And then he took me in and he treated me with the chocolate ice cream cone. Also something I had never seen in Europe or so. And I thought it was the Golden America, like they used to call it, the Golden Alliance.
Yeah. What was your first day in Pittsburgh like? Do you remember?
Well, the first day I came, my brother, he was single at that time, and he stayed up on Center Avenue. There was a Vine Street, they call it, the street office.
Did he meet you with the train?
No, my cousin of mine met me, came down to Baltimore Station and met me. He brought me up, because my brother didn't have time.
Uh-huh.
Then we rode up on a streetcar, you know, up there. And the first day, of course, my brother, when he came home, and when he was through working, he came home, and of course the first day he took me, and he bought me my clothes,
mm-hmm.
My clothes, everything. I liked the shoot.
Hyman.
And I liked everything except the shoes. The shoes, I did not like the American shoes. They have stuck up toes like that. I don't think.
The bulldog toes.
Yeah, at that time.
And of course, your father had been a shoemaker, so you were used to comfortable shoes.
That's it.
Was there anything about life in the United States during those first 5 years that disappointed you?
Yeah, in the beginning it did, and I can tell you.
Yeah.
As I told you, I was what you call a yeshiva boy. I went to the yeshiva, I had no trade in my hand of any kind. You see, because I did not work at my father's, in my father's factory, you might as well say. I didn't work there, so I had no trade. Naturally, I come over, there's something I didn't, the way I come over, the why my brother sent for me is because I coaxed them. They didn't want to bring me over here. They wanted me to remain in Europe and become a rabbi. That's where I went to the yeshiva.
You mean your family?
My family wanted
me,
especially my mother. You know, they wanted me to. Well, I didn't want, because somewhere along the line
it was pulling you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So I coaxed my brothers, they should send me a ticket that I want to come over to this country. Well, after they talked it over with mother, and I told mother, I says, I don't want to go to the yeshiva anymore, I want to go to America. Well, anyway, so mother wrote them and told them that she agrees, she consents to it, and they sent me the ticket. Well, the ticket, $10 traveling expenses at that time. And when I come over here, and of course I stayed, just as I told you, I stayed up on Vine Street there. And then I had one of my brothers lived in Unity, PA, Unity, Northwest America, you know where
Yes, I know where he is.
He worked on the railroad. He was an engineer on the railroad. And I stayed with him. He was just married. I went to school there, to a day school there. But you see, I came in July, on the 17th of July. I remember the day. And school, of course, didn't take him till September. Now, from September, that time, Rosh Hashanah, you know, must have been around the 10th or the 12th of Rosh Hashanah. Of September, yeah, must have been. So I went really to school from the 3rd of September, when school took in, until Rosh Hashanah. And then I came to Pittsburgh, and of course then my brother started to hunt for a job for me. Well, how did you hunt for a job in those days? The same today, too. You inquire, say, he worked in a restaurant. He was a waiter in a restaurant. And his customers, you know, he asked, can you use a boy? My brother come over from the old country, just to green it, can you use a boy to work for you? Well, a couple of them had factories. One had trunk factory, they made trunks and suitcases. And he asked him, so my brother, he says, yes, I can use a boy. He says, send him up. Well, when I went up there, he asked me, what did I do in Europe? I says, a yeshiva boy, you know. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have any material. I'll let you know when I get a material. Another one, you know, at another factory, you know what I mean? Also the same thing. Nobody wanted a yeshiva boy. That was a very disappointment. But I finally got a job on Water Street where they pickle herring. At that time there was. Water Street was different from today, you know.
All right, hold it for just a minute. Did you ever feel that you were treated unjustly because you were an immigrant?
No. No, I never had that feeling.
After having lived in the United States for 5 years, did you feel that you had accomplished or would accomplish your goals in coming here?
Oh, yes. After I was here for 5 years, I was in business.